evening, truth seekers. Oh yeah, it's me. Welcome to Friday night. Oh wait, no, it's not Friday. It just feels like Friday, don't it? Hey, welcome to your Mike Malloy Show, America. Truth seekers, glad you could join us here tonight on Thanksgiving Eve. Is that yet a holiday? If it's not, I'm sure someone's going to commercialize it any minute. Welcome to the Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, here once again, broadcasting from the left coast, occupying your public airwaves tonight, one more night before the Thanksgiving holiday, and then the Malloys will return. Never fear, they're coming back on Monday. So your long national nightmare will soon be over. Until then, you got me broadcasting from the left coast here in the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150. Glad you could join me. I am, as I said, your blogger from bradblog.com, where the chat room is open for business. And everyone is already piling in. Don't be the last one there. Dez is in there for Earth, Jeannie Dean, they are moderating tonight. Justin Time has stopped by, Catfish Blues, you're going to want to see them, say hey to all of them. Even if you're traveling, hopefully you're listening on your smartphone one way or another. But hopefully you can stick with us tonight because we have a huge show, says me, I promise. We're going to be joined later on by Catherine Cryer, who I think is just delightful. You remember Catherine Cryer from CNN and then from Court TV? She was at ABC World News, I think. She was on 2020 years and years ago. She's a former judge. She has a new book out, and it's called, wait, I want to give you the full name here, Patriot Acts, What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. It's a timely book. It is just out this month. I'm excited, looking forward to talking to her about that book and what it is that Americans must do to save the Republic, what she thinks about this Occupy Wall Street movement, what she thinks about the state of our current dreadful state of the mainstream media. We'll see if she's willing to talk about it, you know, because she was in the mainstream media and all that. So we'll see what she has to say. I think she's great, and I had gotten to know her a little bit years ago when she was on Court TV. She had covered a lot of stuff at the Brad blog, which was great, when a lot of other folks were ignoring all that we were reporting over there, stuff, you know, concerns about electronic voting and so forth. Catherine Cryer was covering them on Court TV. I think I appeared on there years ago with her and Bobby Kennedy. So it'll be nice to talk. I haven't talked to her in years. So I'm very much looking forward to that. That'll be coming up. We'll also be taking your calls later in the show, particularly about, you know what, it's Thanksgiving. The world is falling apart. There's no question about it. Folks are rising up in the streets, about which I am very thankful, to be frank. But what I was going to say was, you know, it feels sometimes like there's not a lot to be thankful for. Well, in the third hour, we're going to get to your calls. We're going to find out what you are thankful for and how clever you are in spelling that out for us. Okay, what other business? Oh, you can tweet me throughout the show at the Brad Blog. As always, I'll do my best to keep my eye on your tweets. I am the Brad Blog there. Okay, what else? Let's see. The chat room got that on the way. The phone number tonight will be 877-520-1150. You're going to want to write that down because we're going to want to hear from you. 877-520-1150. Okay, that's all. I think I got my business. Let's get on with this show. You know, folks know me, of course. If you don't know me, I'll tell you who I am. The guy from Brad Blog. I have been covering for years electronic voting machine concerns, voter suppression concerns, and this year, as we barrel towards the 2012 elections, the concerns. Let's just say the concerns are many. And I haven't gotten to talk about it that much this week because we've been covering all of the pepper spray madness across the country. big government tyranny stripping citizens of their rights. Do I sound like a teabagger? Do I sound like Glenn Beck? Yes, maybe I do. Difference is, I mean it. I'm damn concerned about rights being taken away from Americans. And we've been covering a lot of that this week. And last Friday when I started here on the Occupy movement. So I haven't had a lot of time to cover elections. But as this is my last show scheduled here for the Malloys for a while. Actually, forever as far as I know. But maybe they'll have us back over Christmas. We'll find out. But it may be, who knows, my last show with you before the primary season kicks in proper. I think New Hampshire begins to miscount their votes on January 3rd. So who knows if I'll be back before then. And so as we haven't gotten to talk about it very much this week at all, and as I happen to have been going through some interesting documents here that I hold in my very hands, I'll try to release a lot of them next week at Brad Blog. But as I've been going through these documents and seeing what is going on in one case in a county in Pennsylvania where the Republican election commissioners out there have called for an audit of their electronic voting systems. In their case, they use systems, touchscreen voting systems made by ES&S, largest voting machine company in the country. They're doing this audit, and ES&S, the voting machine company, is none too happy about it. The reason they're doing the audit, by the way, is because hundreds of votes, they had undervotes on hundreds of ballots that are completely inexplicable. Votes were flipping in their recent elections from one candidate to another. And what they're finding in this audit that is trying to be stopped right now, tonight, by the voting machine company, ES&S, what they're finding is alarming, is interesting, and should scare the hell out of you. So I will be scaring the hell out of you shortly in that regard in this hour. I want to talk to you about that, tell you some of what I'm reading in these documents. Also, in Utah today, and this is amazing. It's not amazing. It's perfectly expected, unless you haven't been paying attention. In Utah today, they're counting votes. They're trying to count votes on paper ballots that were counted by an optical scan machine. You know, everybody says, if as long as you have paper ballots, you're fine. Nothing to worry about. Yeah, well, most of the country, the good news is most of the country votes on paper ballots at this point. About 70-80% of Americans vote on paper ballots. That's good. Yes, there's 20-30% who vote on 100% unverifiable touchscreen machines, like the ones they're looking at in Venango County, Pennsylvania, that I'll tell you about in a bit. But most of the country is voting on paper ballots. Well, isn't that great? Everything's fine. If there's any problem, we can always recount them. Problem is, who knows when there is problems? Unless you bother to count them. And I've been making this argument for years now. For years, going back to the 2008 primary election. Man, was that 4 years? Wait, how many years ago was that? Yeah, 4 years ago. Yeah. Coming up on 4 years ago, the New Hampshire primary election. As you may recall, Barack Obama had won the Iowa caucuses, stunned the world, and was thought to be the favorite in New Hampshire that January, that cold January day back in 2008. And then the results came in that night after polls had shown that Barack Obama was going to be the winner. The results came in, and what do you know? Hillary Clinton was shown as the winner, stunning the world. Folks back then called it the most surprising upset that they had seen. I can remember Tim Russert on Meet the Press calling it a stunning upset, that they've never seen such a surprise. Talking head after talking head had said, well, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe that she ended up winning. What happened? All of the polls were wrong. All of the pre-election polls told us Barack Obama was going to win. All of those independent election polls all finding the same thing, that Barack Obama was going to win, and yet Hillary Clinton won according to the paper ballots that were counted by Diebold OpScan machines back in January of 2008. And rather than questioning whether the Diebold Opscan machines were wrong, they just presumed that the polls were right. I'm sorry, they presumed that the machines were right. They presumed that the polls were wrong. That the Diebold Opscan machines, the only poll that mattered, the one that was cast on Election Day, that those were right. And nobody had bothered to count those ballots. They simply trusted in those machines, despite the fact that those are the very machines that we had seen already, years earlier, in HBO's Hacking Democracy documentary, Emmy-nominated documentary, showing that those very machines, those very paper ballot machines, could flip the votes without detection, and you would never know that the results had been flipped unless you bothered to count the paper ballots. In New Hampshire, they didn't bother. It took Dennis Kucinich calling for a partial recount to find that hundreds and hundreds of votes had been miscounted on those very machines. Same machines they're going to use in January, and the same machines that have now flipped the results in Utah. Tell you about it after this. Brad in for Malloy.
If the sun refused to shine.
All right, welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mr. Malloy. One more night here. We're talking about what I haven't talked about all week is elections and concerns about elections as we barrel towards the actual election season, not this phony one that's been going on for the past year on every news channel. Where they cover the horse race, but they don't seem to give a damn about the track conditions. We keep an eye on those track conditions, especially with the New Hampshire elections coming up, the New Hampshire primary, first in the nation, coming up January 3. The Republican primary season will kick off, as will the entire presidential election year. And once again, they will be using the same machines, the same optical scan, paper-based optical scan machines, paper ballot system that failed miserably back in January of 2008. Diebold optical scan machines. But listen, it's not just Diebold. And Diebold had so many problems. They changed their name to Premier to hope you wouldn't notice how terrible they are. And then since then, Premier, which was continued the terrible tradition of Diebold, was then purchased by a Canadian firm by the name of Dominion Voting. So now Dominion Voting controls Diebold voting systems, but it's not just Diebold, it's all of the companies, and I'll tell you some more about them. But one of them, this Dominion or Diebold or Premier, whatever you want to call them, the voting machines that tally correctly or incorrectly, tally optical scan paper ballots in New Hampshire, were used on an election in Provo, Utah on November 8th. And here's what's going on tonight in Provo, Utah, in a municipal county election. Not that many votes cast, about 1,400 votes cast. So you'd think it'd be easy to get this one right. You'd think they might have thought about, you know, counting them by hand with their own eyeballs to make sure they were right. But no, they ran them through these crappy scanners, which are either correct or incorrect. Who knows? On election night, as it turns out, on November 8th, in this District 1 municipal council race, Gary Winterton had narrowly defeated Bonnie Morrow by just 9 votes in that District 1 race. Well, it was obviously that's very close, 9 votes. So Morrow had the right to ask for a recount. And that's nice because most candidates don't have the right to ask for a recount, or if they do, they have to pay for it out of their own pocket. In this case, it was going to be paid for by the city. So Bonnie Morrow gets her recount 2 weeks after the election. It was a November 8 election. The recount was yesterday. And guess what happened when they started counting these paper ballots that were originally counted on Diebold Opscan voting machines? Not only did they find there were errors, but there were so many errors that they stopped the recount. According to a spokesman for Provo City, they did a recount and the numbers came out so extremely in favor of the opposite candidate that there appears to be something wrong with the machine. Oh, do you think? Now, Provo is in Utah County. Normally in Utah County, Utah, as in most of the state of Utah, they use Diebold touchscreen voting machines. Those are 100% unverifiable. And as a matter of fact, back in 2010, in Utah County, every single Diebold touchscreen voting machine in the county failed on election morning at 110 polling places across the county. No one could cast a vote. But this time they used a paper ballot, so everything's safe, right? Nothing to worry about. Everything is fine. Well, no, apparently not. Because as the paper reports, which paper was this? This was the Daily Herald reported that the results as they were counting them in this recount on a machine, because in Utah, they do their recounts on the same crappy machines that counted the ballots in the first place that may or may not have gotten it wrong. The Daily Herald reports that as they began the recount, the results were, quote, coming out overwhelmingly in Morrow's favor, the one who had lost by 9 votes on election night. So they stopped the tally, the recount, the recount on the same stupid machines, and they said, we got a problem here. Maybe we ought to count these ballots by hand. Oh, do you think? And maybe they should have done that in the first damn place, not 3 weeks later after who knows what came of those paper ballots in those 3 weeks of darkness between the election and today. Much more on this and what's going on in Pennsylvania and why you should vote. Stay tuned. Stubborn indeed. All right. Welcome back to Your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, stubbornly neither left nor right, fighting for you, fighting for this country, fighting for democracy here in the USA. And like I said, you know, I haven't talked all week about this with all the uprising stuff going on, but now it's just gotten too much for me to handle. I got to tell you about it with all the problems going on with these electronic voting systems that are going to continue. Actually, they're going to start. They're going to blow up. Just wait for it. You can count on it because we haven't done a damn thing about any of this. Not a damn thing about any of this for the last, 4 years, 8 years. I don't know how long I've been on this beat. So, and I'm going to tell you about what's going on in Pennsylvania in a second. But this Utah case, because this recount happened yesterday as they were trying to recount the paper ballots after one candidate in a little race, a district in Provo Municipal Council, District 1. One candidate had lost on election night, according to the Diebold OpScan machines, by 9 votes. So 3 weeks later, Bonnie Morrow, gets her recount yesterday, and they start counting these machines, and in Utah, they run them back through the same machines that miscounted them in the first place, and what do they find? But there are so many votes going for the opposite candidate, going for Bonnie Morrow, who thought she had lost on election night, that they actually just had to stop the whole recount. And they say, wait a minute, we got a problem here. I think we're going to have to count these by hand. Now, at this point, at this hour, We don't know whether the OpScan systems were incorrect on Election Day when they counted, when they tallied the paper ballots in the first place, or rather, or whether they were wrong during the recount that took place yesterday. Who knows? And by the way, who knows if the ballots that they cast on Election Day, paper ballots in Provo, if those were actually the same ones that were counted yesterday? I'd like to think that the chain of custody was up to snuff, but who knows? The ballots have been in the dark for the past 3 weeks. So now there's havoc out there. And for all the people who say, well, if we just use paper ballots, then we can always recount if it's necessary. No. If we counted them in the first place by human beings at the polling place on election night in front of all parties with cameras rolling, video cameras rolling, the public watching, and results posted at the precinct before the ballots were moved anywhere, we would know who won or lost an election. We would know what the results should be. But instead, we continue with this madness. 70 to 80% of the ballots are going to be counted on optical scan machines, just like the ones that have failed now in Utah. Bonnie Morrow, the one, a candidate who lost on election night, according to the machines, said that she had asked for the recount to be done by hand in the first place, but the request was denied, according to the Deseret News. She told them, now, we're doing recounts of recounts of recounts. I just want to make sure the law is followed, Morrow said, adding that her confidence is now shaken in the entire process. Oh, do you think? And now, for some reason or another, the Utah County Chief Deputy Clerk Auditor Scott Hoganson told Deseret News that he does not believe the machine malfunctions affect the outcome of any other races in the county. Really? Why not? How does he know that? How does he have any... He does not believe that the malfunctions affect the outcome of any other... Did he count the ballots? Does he know? No, he doesn't. The Utah County Clerk Auditor Brian E. Thompson said that the county's focus is on the District 1 race because that's where the recount was requested. But he left open the possibility of tallying problems that could affect totals in other Provo races. Some totals could change, Thompson is quoted as saying. If there are any questions, we'll be above board and transparent to make sure everybody has confidence in the outcome. How does he know whether there is questions or not? Unless you count the ballots. Every single candidate who lost in that election on November 8 using those machines in Provo should be demanding a recount. And I don't care if they lost by 99%. They should be demanding not a recount, I'm sorry, a hand count. These ballots weren't counted in the first place. They were tallied by an optical scan machine, which either got them right or wrong. And those very same machines, I need to add again, should I remind you, pay attention, Republicans. Those very same machines are going to be the ones who determine the results of the first in the nation primary in New Hampshire in 2012 on January 3rd. And whatever the results are, as reported by those machines, are going to be the ones you're going to live with, whether you like it or not. Oh, by the way, up in New Hampshire, in all of New England, where they use those OpScan machines, they're programmed by a company that has a criminal background. A company where one of the employees came by and said words to me so profane in the comment section at bradblog.com that I can neither repeat them here on the air, nor is he allowed to participate in elections anymore in the state of Connecticut after the Connecticut Secretary of State saw those comments. That's the guy who works with the company, one of the top guys at the company. The company name is LHS, that programs, services, all of the voting machines in pretty much in New England, who has admitted that in the middle of elections, they'll often just remove memory cards right from machines, change them right during the elections. Are you worried? Well, you should be. You should have been years ago, but, you know, that's just me. I can only, you know, run around with my hair on fire for so long telling you guys about this stuff. You know, are you waiting for another 2000 before you do something about it? Now, I'm going to talk in a few minutes about whether you should vote at all. Because we've got, again, somebody in the bradblog.com chat room tonight saying, well, don't vote. It's crazy. These are rigged elections. Why bother to vote? We should boycott. Well, you know what? All right, I'll talk about it now, and then I'll get to Pennsylvania. It's up to you whether you want to vote. I'm not one of these people who says you need to vote. If you don't vote, then you have no right to complain. Sure you do. You have every right to complain. You have every right to not vote and to complain. This is your democracy. Do what you want with it. But if you don't vote, even with the system we have, then bad guys, you just done their work for them. They don't have to game the election. It doesn't matter if the voting system malfunctions. You've just done them the favor. So it's up to you whether you want to vote or not. You know, I think we don't have a lot of mechanisms in this country for change. Democracy expressed at the ballot box is one of those ways, and I will argue one of the most important ways, even with the problems in the electoral system. So it's up to you. If you want to roll over, let bad guys win, let them run roughshod. Imagine to yourself that somehow boycotting elections. Most people already boycott elections, people. Pay attention. Most people don't vote in this country. Do you think your little scheme to not vote makes a bit of difference to the people who run this nation? To the corporatists who control this nation? They don't care. They don't want you to vote. Whether you vote is up to you or not. But if you vote, I would argue, your vote should be counted. It should be counted accurately, and it should be counted transparently so that we know that it was counted accurately and transparently. But that does not happen in the majority of this country. In Venango County, Pennsylvania, back in May, they had an election on touchscreen voting machines. We're going to move back to that for a second. On 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting machines made by ES&S, the largest voting machine supplier in the country. ES&S. They make a machine called the iVotronic. It's a touchscreen voting machine. It's the one that was used in the Alvin Green election that elected this guy that nobody had ever heard of to be the nominee for the Democratic Party in the state of South Carolina in 2010. Nobody can explain why Alvin Green, this guy who nobody had heard of, actually won on these 100% unverifiable touchscreen machines. Well, anyway, in Venango County, they use the very same type of touchscreen machines. And the Republican Election Commission there has called for an audit of those machines because back in May, votes were flipping from one candidate to the other. Straight ticket votes, when somebody would try to vote for a Republican straight ticket, it would go over to the Democratic straight ticket. The results at the end of the night show this extraordinary undervote rate, people not voting at all in hundreds of races for reasons that are inexplicable. We had on a couple of months ago, last time I was on the Mike Malloy show, we had on the Republican Election Commission Director, Craig Adams from Venango County, who had called in to explain some of the problems they had, the reason why they were calling for this audit. And so they did. They found two computer science professionals, professors at Carnegie Mellon University to come in for free and examine these machines. And they made them agents of the county, agents of the election board, because, you know, these are proprietary machines. And if the county, even the county, wants to look at these machines to find out what might have gone wrong in an election, they are stopped. They are told they can't. They're proprietary systems. The corporations who have taken over our elections have the temerity to tell election boards they can't even look at their own machines. They can't look at what goes on inside of their machines. They can't look at the databases. It's none of their goddamn business. It's proprietary because we have privatized even our public elections. So now there's a fight. Now there's a fight. Now that they're auditing these machines, and now that they're finding errors in these machines in Venango County, ES&S, largest voting machine company in the country, in the world, actually, is threatening to sue Venango County, is threatening to sue the two Carnegie Mellon professors. I'm looking at the documents right here. I'm looking at ES&S's threat letter to David A. Eckhart in the computer science department at Carnegie Mellon University, telling him he will be sued if he continues his audit without signing a non-disclosure agreement. Yes, I've got the non-disclosure agreement in my hands right here, too. I'll read you some of that after, ouch, I'll read you some of that after we come back from this break. If you want to know why we can't know what's going on in our public elections, stay tuned. You'll find out what happens when people try to find out what goes on inside their own voting machines in their own formerly public elections. Brad Friedman, in for Malloy.
A restless man, he talks in mass. He buzzes like.
Welcome back. We are along your watchtower tonight, watching out for your democracy right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. And I was reminded, I forgot to mention, please, tonight's show is sponsored once again by Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique, American Democracy, Politics in Crisis, an extraordinarily fun political thriller that actually has election fraud at the center of its story. And this is really amusing. A character by the name of Brad Friedman, who's an election integrity expert who has to inform the president-elect, the independent third party, independent progressive president-elect, that the election may have been stolen in the state of Georgia on 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting machines. So my thanks to Richard Averitt for writing this book and including me in it as a fictional character and making some of them available to readers of the Brad blog and Mike Malloy listeners at bradblog.com. Please stop on by there and look for the big Imagine Politique banner at the top of the page and buy one to help support our efforts to cover your electronic voting systems and all the other disasters that will befall the voting system in 2012. I really need your help. I really appreciate if you can buy one of those books. Richard Averitt will sign it and we'll get it sent out to you in time for Christmas. Okay, so I've got just a few minutes left here. Coming up in the next hour, Catherine Cryer, formerly of CNN and Court TV, will be joining me. She has covered a lot of this electronic voting stuff. I'm very grateful to her. I will explain that in the next hour. In the meantime, we're talking about this audit that they attempted in Venango County, Pennsylvania, of the electronic voting systems out there that failed in several recent elections. Flipped votes. In this case, it was a touchscreen voting system, although paper ballot op-scan systems, as we talked about earlier, have the same problems in Utah, where an election has now been flipped on these electronic voting op-scan systems. Well, in this case, however, the Republican Election Commission asked for an audit. Brought on Carnegie Mellon professors, David Eckhart and Greg Kesden, to look at these machines, and now they're finding all kinds of problems in them. And they're finding, they're looking at the log files, and they're finding that there are there's information from July. In the May race, there are items dated July. What the hell is that doing there? I've been, you know, going through some of these documents, some of these logs. They can't explain it. There seems to be no explanation as to why this information is in there in the logs that doesn't belong. And now ES&S, the voting machine company, is trying to stop this audit from moving forward. This audit of voting systems that are used not only all over the state of Pennsylvania, but used all over South Carolina, used all over Kentucky, used all over Arkansas, used in North Carolina, ESNS Ivotronics in Kentucky, where they were used, by the way, to game a bunch of elections, where the voting officials themselves changed votes on the electronic voting machines. And so now ESNS has sent a threat letter to the county, to the professors. And I don't even have time to read it. But, you know, the threat is telling them that the information they're looking at from their own election out there in Venango County is confidential information, is proprietary, and they have to return it to the company or they will be sued. And I know that, you know what, let me see if I can do this in 1 minute. Craig Adams, the Republican election director of Venango County, has called in. Craig, I've only got about 1 minute here to talk, unfortunately. But thanks for calling in. Didn't know you were going to call in. Welcome back to the Molloy Show, by the way. Are you there?
Yeah, I am here. Thank you very much.
All right, Craig. I talked to your co-commissioner there, Martha Breen, today, who happens to also be the chair of the GOP party in Venango County. She is hopping mad about what is going on and what these thugs at ESNS are trying to do to keep you from looking at your own voting system. Are you going to give in to them, or are you going to fight to make sure that the people can look at their own systems?
No. In fact, we're saying that basically ESNS is saying that not only is all of the information proprietary in the Unity unit, but even their address is proprietary. ESNS's address is proprietary.
They can't even report where that ESNS is based in Omaha, or he'll be sued.
Unbelievable.
Craig, listen, I wish I had the time to talk to you more today. I had a lot to cover, but we are going to continue covering this after the holidays at bradblog.com, hopefully back here on the Mike Molloy Show. But my thanks to you for what you're doing, and Martha Breen and all the other people who are fighting against the thugs at ESNS to make sure public elections are actually public. Thanks, Craig. We're going to talk soon, okay?
Oh, you're doing great work, Brad. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, brother. That's Craig Adams, the chair of the Republican Election Committee in Venango County. The fight will continue, I promise. Brad on Molloy. Catherine Cryer is next. Welcome back to your Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, if you ask me, from bradblog.com, occupying your public airwaves tonight for my last night here. Been in for the last 3 or 4 days covering for Mike Molloy. Mike will be returning after the holidays on Monday, never fear. Your long national nightmare will soon be over. Until then, you got me, and I'm glad you could join the show here. We are broadcasting from the left coast at the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150. As I say, it's my final night for a while, and then I disappear back into bradblog.com, where I, by the way, can use your help. And that is why tonight is sponsored by Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique, American Democracy, Politics in Crisis, a political thriller in which yours truly actually shows up as a fictional character. Yes, Brad Friedman gets the fun of informing the president-elect, the independent, progressive, third-party president-elect, that the election may have been stolen in the state of Georgia. Not by him, but by one of the other two parties that are running. It's a really fascinating story. It portends a lot of what we're seeing with Occupy Wall Street right now. Trust me. If you don't trust me, stop on by the blog, read Ernie Canning's review. But if you click on the top where it says Imagine Politique and purchase a copy, the proceeds go to Brad Blog. Thanks to Richard Averitt. We will send you out a signed copy. He'll sign it. I'll send it. And you will make my day and make my reporting possible, frankly, for the 2012 election cycle as the nightmare begins once again. And I need your help because I am not supported by corporations or foundations. It's just me counting on you for your help. So that's Imagine Politique at bradblog.com. While you're there, by the way, buying one of those, stop into the chat room and say hello. We'd love to see you there in the live Bradblog chat room. It's hopping there. And you can also tweet us at the Bradblog. We'll be taking some of your calls, hopefully even this hour, if we get time, at 877-520-1150 with my next guest, who I am just delighted of. Speaking of books, after you've bought Imagine Politique, I got another book you're going to want to buy by my next guest, Catherine Cryer. I hope you remember the delightful Catherine Cryer, formerly of CNN, ABC News, and Court TV. She is the author of the new book, Patriot Acts, What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. Oh, man, I need that book. I think we all do. Hey, Catherine, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad, long time no chat.
Way too long time no chat. What happened to you? Everything was going fine. You were at Court TV, and then what? All of a sudden, you were gone.
Well, Court TV became True TV, and that was just a little too much of a reach for me.
Dude.
You know, I'd been fighting the good fight on Court. They'd hired me to do basically law politics.
Right.
And over time, there was a push, just like occurred on the more newsy networks, mm-hmm. to do a little more sort of tabloid sensational. And I still would close, even if we were doing Michael Jackson or Anna Nicole Smith,
right.
I would close with a political commentary. But by the time they switched to True, I said, that's about as far as I can go.
You
so,
You didn't want to continue with the reality TV? You could have...
Not my thing.
No, not your thing. Well, you know what? You are great. Missed, and not only because you were one of the few folks in what I'll call the corporate media who you know, looked at the stuff that I was trying to report about what is going on in our electoral system, in our democracy, and, you know, helped get it out there. So many of the folks, and I'm going to get away from this in a second and get over to your book, but since I just spent the last hour ranting about problems in our electoral system, an election that has flipped in the state of Utah on paper ballots because the Diebold Opscan machine is unreliable. A county in Pennsylvania where the Republicans are fighting to have an audit of these touchscreen machines, and the voting machine company is threatening to sue them if they dare to look at it. You know, these, I think, are important items, and you were kind enough to get them out back when you were at Court TV. So I've never gotten a chance to thank you for that, so
allow me to do that now.
Well,
you took the lead all the way through. You have carried that message when no one else was talking about it,
mm-hmm.
You know, through thick and thin, and for that I have just tremendous respect for you.
Well, you're very kind. Here's the bad news is that nothing has gotten any better since last we discussed all of this.
Which breaks my heart because that has been a while back. But, you know, as you said, that really has been a mission of mine, and I think I'd like to claim integrity through, you know, mm-hmm. throughout my journalistic career, where people will say, you know, she didn't sell out to an ideology.
Mm-hmm.
She really sought the truth, and that continues to be my mission with this book.
Well, and clearly it is, because I've been reading up on this book. I confess I did not get a copy, so I wasn't able to read it before we came on, but I've been reading up about it, and you know, it's some extraordinary stuff here. But so let's start at the beginning, and then we're going to get into some things, because I do want to talk to you a little bit more about what specifically is going on right now in our streets with Occupy Wall Street, concerns that I have, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on the mainstream corporate media and how they have been instrumental in helping us get into this soup, as I see it. But first, let's start with the book, Patriot Acts, What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. Okay, I'll bite. What must we do, Catherine?
Well, one of my passions, and you know, just quickly for mm-hmm. listeners who might not know, I mean, a pre-law student, it was all, you know, politics, international affairs, history, government, you know, through law school, prosecutor, civil litigator, sat on the bench. You know, my time on the bench, I was handling civil cases, even like major S&L litigation, savings and loan litigation, mm-hmm. you know, in the 80s, this sort of thing. Then, of course, investigative journalist, news anchor, political talk show host, you know, for the last sort of 18 years.
And I did mean to mention, former district court judge, actually. I meant to mention that.
Right.
I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of everything from which is an elected position. So, you know, law, elections, politics, journalism, you know, political host, pundit, mm-hmm. and this is now my fifth book. And, you know, so I sort of covered the range. And what I'm clear on right now is that we have to look at what the republic is and understand that has to be defended first. Then we can play all the ideological games we want. But unless we understand what the founders created, what the republic is, mm-hmm. and what is sacrosanct, you know, what we cannot disturb, or we are literally going to throw what has made the American system so great and the envy around the world, yeah, then we can play ideology. One of my favorite quotes in the book is from John Adams, and he said, "Ideology is the science of idiots." and so I really try and explain to people what the founders created, and you had great fights. I mean, there was a major left and right back then, mm-hmm. in 1789, and the Constitution was called the Grand Compromise, because James Madison basically, you know, beat both sides over the head and said, what we want is a level playing field. And he got them both to give up their quest to bend the country left or right. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, we're going to create this great level playing field and rules of the game, and then the voters every 2 and 4 years will listen to you and decide whether we're going to move to the right or to the left within that playing field.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we are threatening to you know, tear up the turf, destroy the boundaries, and literally throw the republic out in a quest for, you know, ideological domination. And frankly, I think everybody knows that is really coming from a far right conversation that seems to be the controlling voice in the conservative movement and the Republican Party.
Well, but Catherine Cryer, how can that be? We hear that the media is liberal. We hear that Washington establishment is liberal, that a liberal controls the White House, a socialist, Marxist controls the White House. How can it be that the voices from the right have such an effect on this fight that we find our nation in at this point?
Well, again, for the viewers at home, I was an elected Republican judge in the mm-hmm. 80s. I'm not a commie pinko pig, you know, I'm a good Texas girl, and the conversation that I have and sort of my own ideology really, I'd like to believe, comes from, you know, empirical evidence and sort of primary sources. And when I argue in the book, you know, what the founders believed, I don't interpret. You know, I'm quoting that, mm-hmm. what they wrote, what they said. I look at, you know, the science or economics or military history and try and take you through, which is what's always driven me, is I want to look at empirical evidence. And when you talk about that conversation about sort of the liberal media or this and that, I tell people, I said, Richard Nixon would be considered a liberal Democrat today.
Yep.
If you took Reagan's name off the policies and just listed his policies, mm-hmm. from raising corporate taxes in 86, from declaring that capital gains should be taxed the same as wages, from, of course, wanting to, you know, end all nuclear weapons and negotiating
right.
with the evil empire, go on and on.
Amnesty
for the Republican primary.
Yep, that's right.
But, So left and right, both parties have moved dramatically to the right over the last 25, 30 years. So it's pretty hard. And then when you look at Obama, you go, my God, you know, the guy kept all of Wall Street running the economy, kept all the military guys handling the military, reduced taxes for 95%, continued the Bush tax cut. He's deported more, more illegal immigrants. He's gotten more terrorists off the list. I mean, other than Obamacare, individual mandate, which came from the Republicans in 1992.
Yep.
I mean, I can't quite see where the socialist Marxist stuff is coming from.
No, and of course, it's not coming from anywhere other than being made up as a political scheme, to move Republicans forward. And, you know, I say the same thing. I don't know whether you consider yourself a Republican anymore or not.
I'm a very healthy independent because I'm pretty mad at both parties.
There you go. I join you exactly right there, Catherine. We got to take a quick break here. Then we'll have a short segment, but then we'll have a long segment with Catherine Cryer, the author of Patriot Acts, What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. Oh, boy, do we need that right around now. And we will take some of your calls, if I can fit those in, at 877-520-1150. Speaking with Catherine Cryer, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, in for Mike Malloy all night long here. Glad you could join us. Stay with us. Much more straight ahead.
He can make you love. He can make you cry. He will bring you down and he'll get you high. Something keeps him going.
Very nice, Tony. Welcome back to the Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com sitting in doing my radio duty here, drafted into duty for just a few more hours tonight. We're speaking with Catherine Cryer, formerly of CNN and Court TV, a former district court judge. And a former Republican district court judge, I should add, now a fierce independent, as she says, author of the new book, Patriot Acts, What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. And you can get more information and get that book at patriotacts.com. That's patriotacts.com. Okay, Catherine, got just a short segment here, so we'll have to keep this short-ish and sweet, but we'll have much more after the bottom of the hour break here. You know how this goes. I see over at PatriotActs.com, you've written, Capitalists of America, Unite. Now, I've had, I've often said out loud, well, I'm a capitalist. I believe in capitalism. And I've got a lot of crap from folks on the left who says, how dare you? Look what capitalism has done to us. And I say, this ain't capitalism. And I see that you speak to something very similar. Give me an idea. We got only a minute or two. We can pick it up after the break. But what's the difference?
Let's pick it up, 'cause this is so integral. Yeah. The subtitle to that article was Why Adam Smith Would Be Marching Today.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I go back and spend several chapters in the book going, Adam Smith wrote Wealth of Nations in 1776, the founding of capitalism, to protest the marriage of big government and big business in England. And he, throughout his manifesto, says capitalism, fair, sort of free markets, mm-hmm. broad-based economic opportunity can only happen if you prevent the concentration of wealth and power at the top. And the only thing that's big enough to counter the corporatism mm-hmm. is government. And he tells us we must regulate to preserve capitalism. So I really try and explain to people what we have today is not capitalism. And when they say deregulate big multinationals, they're not defending capitalism. And that's an important conversation.
It is. And we'll get to talk a lot more, hopefully, about that after the break. The difference between capitalism and what we have now, which is corporatism. And I would say even worse, it's become crony corporatism.
Very much so.
That has completely corrupted our system entirely.
And it's the marriage of big government mm-hmm. and big business. So both are at fault, and we have to understand that.
And so contrary to what Republicans tell us now, the founders didn't believe it should just be a free-for-all, that businesses should do anything they want.
Although important distinction is the liberals, Thomas Jefferson, loved Adam Smith, loved capitalism. The founder of conservatism, Alexander Hamilton, is even called Machiavellian capitalist, crony capitalist in many of the big biographies, and we can talk about that after the break.
We will.
He wanted to marry big government and big business.
And, well, success. We're speaking with Catherine Cryer of Patriots Act, her new book, PatriotsAct.com. You're listening to Brad on Mike Malloy.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Yes, it is.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Not scared at all.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle with you for another hour or two. Your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and now broadcaster, sitting in for Mike Malloy for one more night. We're speaking with Catherine Cryer, formerly of CNN and Court TV, author of the new book, Patriot Acts, What America Must Do to Save the Republic. You can get more information, of course, at PatriotActs.com. Before I go back to Catherine, just some very quick business. Let's see. A shout-out to Rich at Occupy LA. Jeannie Dean, an Occupy LA person, is here helping us out tonight. She said that Rich is a fan. We should give him a big shout out. And that Progressive Radio has saved his sanity. Oh, glad to hear it. Sorry, Progressive Radio is so difficult to come by these days, even in Los Angeles. But keep up the good fight out there, Rich. And also, let's see, our phone number. That's right. We're going to take some calls this hour. Would you like to get in a question or thought for Catherine Cryer? 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. And all right, let's get back to Catherine. And Catherine, I would be remiss if I did not point out that when I mentioned to my mother that Catherine Cryer was coming on, she was very excited. She, every night, she said, whether it was CNN or Court TV, she would make sure to watch your show every night, Catherine.
Hi, Brad's mom.
There you go. You just made her Thanksgiving. Now she won't be as mad at me for not going home to see her on Thanksgiving. So,
I'm not going to make it back to Dallas either.
Oh, no, I am sorry to hear that. All right, so we're speaking about this sort of the, pardon me, but the bastardization of capitalism, what it has become. Come now in this country, and you write in your essay over at PatriotActs.com, Capitalists of America Unite, you write that despite warnings by prescient Republican presidents like Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, and Dwight Eisenhower, the American system has morphed quite predictably into a dog-eat-dog economic Darwinism, and the big canines have rigged the game in their favor. Flying the capitalist flag, the really big guys have completely corrupted Adam Smith's free market philosophy. They use their concentrated wealth and power to buy off politicians, skate around regulations, abuse their privileges, and sometimes break the laws to win. Wow, you're not going back to CNN anytime soon, are you, Catherine?
But again, I'll be glad to argue facts with anybody because it, you know, it's, oh my God, what an ideology, you know, mm-hmm. sort of left winger. No, actually, go back and read Adam Smith. You know, follow the research. Look at how you know corporatism began to grow. When you listen to Republicans today, mm-hmm. and what's the pitch? They say we want small government, low taxes, completely deregulated market, mm-hmm. keep the government out of our lives, strict construction of the Constitution. Well, they're preaching the radical liberal Thomas Jefferson. Just go back and read mm-hmm. what he was saying. The Democrats until the Great Depression, were small government, strict construction, low taxes. On the other hand, Alexander Hamilton, the founder of conservatism, who was really the power behind the Washington throne and our first Secretary of the Treasury, first thing he does, he steps in and he goes, I must have a federal deficit. And he bought up all the state debt from the Revolutionary War. And the states were screaming, don't take our debt. And Thomas Jefferson, the radical liberals, going, "Don't, you can't do that, not constitutional." And he goes, "Watch me," because they all knew he wanted the federal government to get stronger, bigger, and control the national economy. And then he says, "Look, farmers, shopkeepers, little guys aren't going to help me out. I want to grow this big, powerful, dynamic economy to compete with Europe." So he starts marrying big government with the big wealthy interests in the country. He gets the Supreme Court to interpret the Constitution in one of the very, very early cases that granted power mm-hmm. to the federal government rather than restricted power, that decided that anything in the Necessary and Appropriate Clause, would allow him to create, it gave him implied powers to create the big central bank. Well, it was the liberal going, strict Constitution construction. You cannot do that. So he, he builds this, and it's both good and bad. Mm-hmm. He built the canals and the roads and the banks and turned this country very rapidly into a big economic powerhouse, whereas the liberals, Jefferson, Ben Franklin, they wanted small, more bucolic, kind of isolationist country. Mm-hmm. So both sides have their good and bad. But we've got to understand that right off the bat, he began to drive a reinterpretation of the Constitution that then, granted personhood to the corporations in 1886,
right.
and continue right on through the Citizens United decision last year from the Supreme Court, where all of a sudden now we've basically legalized corporations buying our elections. You can track it through. It's not, it's not a leftist ideology at all on my part. It's basically understanding history, the economy, and the empirical evidence that's been laid out for us for over 200 years.
And you're right. And you've drawn the line back to the founding of this country and this fight between big business, corporatism, and capitalism has been going on since then. But it seems Dwayne in chat at the bradblog.com chat room writes that Cryer sounds like an Eisenhower Republican, now to the far left of Obama.
he's pretty observant. Because I write, I think it's sort of second chapter, I grew up in Texas, mm-hmm. and the Republicans, there wasn't even a Republican primary in Texas until 1960.
Right.
And basically it was the conservative Democrats who felt that the Democrats had left them, that they'd gotten too liberal. But it was this, progressive, a business party, but let's lift everybody up. We want to build universities and get everybody going when it came to cultural issues. What you did was your own business, and I wasn't about to pry. Very, sort of libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but we're not gonna leave anybody in the street. Very, very different, and very much what you just described. Probably more in that Eisenhower influence. But like I said, Nixon would be radical with the EPA and some of his welfare and all of this. So
well, even Ronald Reagan. I mean, that's what's amazing.
Okay.
So I've been reading, and I had hoped to have him on last night, David Frum, George W. Bush's old speechwriter, coined Axis of Evil. He couldn't come on last night because they had that GOP debate, but he wrote this amazing piece in New York Magazine this week. When did the GOP lose touch with reality, he wrote. And so as this fight that you discuss and the pull between corporatism and real capitalism has been going on you know, for now a couple hundred years, suddenly it's like it's on steroids. And his article is titled, When Did the GOP Lose Touch with Reality? What was the trigger, Catherine Cryer, that has placed us where we are today, where it's just we have lost touch with reality in this country? And how much of that, and this will move us into another topic, has to do with our media, our corporate media?
Well, I mean, I absolutely think a lot has to do with it. I was working on it and pitching a book on the media before I wrote this one, and the publishing houses will go unnamed, but I talked to several of them. They loved it. But because I went after the entire media, left and right, everybody, mm-hmm. and really argued about where the fourth estate has been failing the American people, they said, you know, if you just go after, you know, the left, then we can pitch it to the right. If you go after the right, we can pitch it to the left. But we don't think anyone will want to talk about this because you're going after everybody. So I find that the media tends to be very, very thin-skinned across the board. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I'm not at all happy because I think that it across it, it, you know, when I joined CNN, there were no other cable news channels, mm-hmm. and we would do programming that we knew would have viewers turning it off. It was sort of PBS. It might be too boring. It was very substantive. A lot of international stories, and back then it didn't have this sort of liberal moniker. Mm-hmm. But then when you get the competition, they're all, you know, in the race for eyeballs. Too much sensationalism. Too much superficial sort of horse racing kind of things, mm-hmm. and if you don't go now to the internet and thankfully some newspapers, you're not getting substance. You're not getting a lot of meat, and it's very tragic for me. But you know, this the whole left-right nonsense. It's a corporatist environment on both the left and the right.
Well, it is left-right nonsense. It's a phony paradigm. But as long as you're not at CNN anymore, let me take the opportunity to beat them up a little bit. They do what Jay Rosen, a New York University media professor, calls the view from nowhere, where you know, the left says this, however the right says that, and you decide. They have no opinion, but you know, they'll report that the left says it's sunny out, whereas the right says it's raining. Well, we can all go to our window and look and see that it is, in fact, sunny out. Why can't, whether it's CNN or anybody else, just say it's sunny out? And I don't, and damn the other party who's going to get mad at us for, you know, saying it's sunny when the facts are the facts.
Well, you're exactly right, because, you know, it's certainly fine to chastise the left or the right if they're delivering you spin and ideology. But if they're going, you know, here's what the CBO says, or, you know, here is what happened in, you know, 1932 or 54 or 67, mm-hmm. and you can look at facts out of a history book, then I'm sorry if it bends something to the left or the right, but we need people who are willing to say, this is the deal. And when we listen to a lot of the debates, a lot of information that comes over the airways, guests, political guests that come on and basically state bald-faced lies.
Yep.
And you will not hear a mainstream journalist step up to the plate and go, you know what? That's not only a misrepresentation, it's a lie. And I don't care, yep, whether it's coming out of the mouth of someone from the right or the left. That's the media's obligation to the American people.
I agree. And yet, CNN, and by the way, I'm focusing on CNN here, but it's obviously true on all the other networks as well. But, you know, CNN will actually hire people who are liars, and you know, some of their analysts, you know, from the right, these people who are known to be liars, and they'll bring them on as analysts for debates because they're from the right. I mean, it seems as if there's no line drawn anymore to say we're going to tell the truth, and if it's you know, it doesn't work out well for Democrats or Republicans, so be it. We're going to tell the truth. At this point, I'm sort of blowing off steam, but
I
think that
because there's a great case, yeah, to be made on the conservative side and on the liberal side. But I guess based on my sort of notion of what is liberal and what is conservative, you know, the conservatives, as I said, for decades were the ones driving the bill. building of infrastructure when the Democrats were the ones saying, you know, we're not going to give you the money for that. I mean, Lincoln fought for the Transcontinental Railroad, mm-hmm. and you can go all the way through. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody should get credit where credit is due. And now all of a sudden in the last 30 years, not a dime. And privatizing all of these things that really should be not a province mm-hmm. of a socialist government, but under the general welfare clause, there are certain things that really shouldn't be, you know, a profit-driven enterprise that the American people will benefit contributing their tax dollars for their general welfare. Big projects, big things. You know, it used to be that there was a great conservative conversation about that. Obviously, there are a lot of things that you and I could say that have come out of the liberal movement that, you know, whether it's our Bill of Rights and the expansion of rights and the protection of you know, interest of the middle class, all these sorts of things. But instead, we get in these little ideological boxes mm-hmm. that are modern ideological boxes.
And there
is no correspondence to the past.
I got to get to a break, Catherine. Sure. Catherine Cryer, PatriotActs.com. Yeah, that's why I don't call them conservatives anymore, because they're not. Your call straight ahead, Brad in for Malloy.
Think you could tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide.
I think Tony's in a Thanksgiving mood. Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. A few more short minutes here with Catherine Cryer, author of Patriot Acts. What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. We're going to take some of your calls if you want to get in. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Next hour, it is all your calls. I'd love to hear from you. Use your public airwaves. Use them or lose them even more than you already have. 877-520-1150. If you have a question for Catherine Cryer, now is the time. Next hour, however, I'm going to want to I want to hear what you're thankful for. If you can find anything to be thankful for these days, let's hear it. I'm sure you can. All right, Catherine. Before we went to the break, you were referring to what conservatives used to believe in, things like infrastructure and so forth. And I would also argue rule of law and the Constitution and all sorts of things that they don't seem to give a damn about anymore, which is why I don't call them conservative anymore. I think we do them a favor, frankly, when we call them conservative, because they're not.
Well, that's one of the hardest things about figuring out how to write the book is it probably took me several months just to figure out how to utilize the terms liberal, conservative, progressive, mm-hmm. because I realized I had to go back to sort of 1776
and talk about
what it was then and then take the reader all the way through to show how the parties have virtually flipped positions on several important things, but how and what certain characters have remained very much the same.
I'm going to have to read the book just to find out what a liberal is, because I have no idea what that even means anymore. Let me get, because I'm up against the clock, get in a quick call here from Mary. Oh, Mary in Iowa, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad.
Oh, this is Mary, who stands out on the highway with a peace sign. I love you, Mary. she's great. You have a question for Catherine Cryer,
well,
Mary?
Brad, you're good. If you weren't, I wouldn't mention it.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, but you remember the older woman that said time that was hit with the pepper spray?
Yes.
And said time is of the essence. She had lived through Nazi Germany.
Yes.
And I am really afraid that time is of the essence. Anyway, I saw and heard that they have, the military is making new machines for crowd control.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is, it's radiation, but it won't hurt you. It won't hurt
yes.
you.
And sound cannons and heat cannons. Mary, I'm up against the clock. I want to get an answer from Catherine. You wanted to know about the legality of these new systems, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
They're horrible.
Catherine, you have a thought here in the middle?
We've heard our occupiers.
Well, I have a real problem, and I've got a long chapter on national security, and I go back to 2006 when the Congress went along with Bush pressing to expand the martial law powers, to making it almost exclusive decision of a president, even in economic times, if they're threats. So there are tremendous constitutional issues that are continuing to be ignored today, not just in the Bush administration, but for the last 30 years and ongoing today, that unless the American people understand and object, then back to the title of the book, we must defend the Republic, and yes, in fact, the Republic is under serious attack.
Mary, thank you for your call. I'm sorry, we got to run short here against the clock. Catherine Cryer, author of Patriot Acts, What Americans Must Do to Save the Republic. Check it out, buy a copy in time for Christmas at patriotacts.com. Catherine, not enough time. Let's try to do this again soon. You're great. Thanks for your time.
Great to talk to you, Brad. Thanks.
You're awesome. Good luck with the new book. Hope to talk to you soon, and have a great holiday.
Thank you.
All right. Coming back to your calls at 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike Malloy. All right, final hour of the Mike Malloy Show. Before, like Brigadoon, I disappear for the next 100 years or whatever that is that Brigadoon does. It's a musical theater reference. You wouldn't get it, Tone. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. Your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker, and all-around swell fellow occupying your airwaves. For the final hour here before the big holiday break, there'll be a rebroadcast, a best of Mike Malloy tomorrow and Friday, and then he and Kathy will be back on your public airwaves on Monday. And I wonder if he'll have anything on his mind. I wonder if a week off will have tightened up old Mike to have a few words to say when he returns. I will look forward to that. Let's see. All right, what do we have here? Oh, yes, this is our last hour here tonight, sponsored by Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique, which you can get, and I would ask you to do so as a favor to me, at bradblog.com, where we have a banner up at the top. Imagine Politique, American Democracy, Politics in Crisis. It is a thriller, a political thriller. It is fiction, and yet it is feels like it was ripped from the pavement of Occupy Wall Street. It also concerns some election fraud and a presidential election in which yours truly, me, Brad Friedman, actually shows up as a fictional character to inform the president-elect that there has been possibly some election fraud, some e-voting fraud in the state of Georgia in his election, and he might not have won. That would be the progressive third-party candidate. Really cool book. Check it out. It's Imagine Politique. You can get a copy signed by the author if you stop by bradblog.com at the top of the page. You'll see it on all the pages for the next few days. And my thanks to Richard Averitt for making these available to help support the Brad Blog, the Mike Malloy Show, and progressive politics, progressive election integrity, and highlighting just where our democracy it may be headed unless some courageous characters step up. And there are some courageous characters in this book. Check it out. Imagine Politique at bradblog.com. And thank you. All right. Since it's Thanksgiving, I got to thank people. What are you thankful for? That's what I'd like to know, even as the world is crumbling around us. 877-520-1150. Would love to hear what you're thankful for. I know some folks are still on the line from the last hour and who had some questions for Catherine Cryer we couldn't get to, but I will try to get to everybody who calls in. But I would like to know what you are thankful for, even in these dark hours, and make no mistake, these are dark hours in this country, no question. Yet, I still think there is reason for hope. There is reason to be grateful. I am grateful that that you tune in to this show. I'm grateful that there are still some areas of the airwaves where progressive voices can be heard, and there are very damn few, very damn few. But I'm thankful that there are still a few left, and that I'm allowed to exercise my First Amendment rights every now and again across them. I'm also thankful for those folks who are standing up for those First Amendment rights, who are taking pepper spray in the face, who are taking tear gas canisters to the skull, who are being brought into who are being arrested. For exercising their constitutional rights, who are standing up to the thugs who are trying to turn this country back into, I don't know what the hell they're trying to do. I really don't. But those of you folks out there at the occupations who are fighting for what's right on this cold, dark November night, day before Thanksgiving, my sincerest thanks to all of you. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. 877-520-1150. Oh, I'm also thankful to Catherine Cryer. Man, is she great. If you didn't miss any portion of either that hour or the first hour tonight, when we talked about this election that has been flipped now, according to election officials in Utah, Provo, Utah, on paper ballots that were scanned by a Diebold electronic op scanner, the results have been flipped. You can read about it at bradblog.com, but we'll have the archives up tonight of both my interview with Catherine Cryer and that first hour where I talked about that and about ESNS. And if you're looking for a voting machine company to villainize, there you go, ESNS, thugs. From top to bottom, the way they operate, and they are now threatening a lawsuit against the county of Venango County, Pennsylvania, for having the temerity to examine, to independently audit their own voting machines. Their own voting machines, made by ESNS, that flipped votes in recent elections. That now that they've looked into them, they're finding numbers that don't belong inside the audit logs. These ESNS folks are thugs. They have no clue that our elections are public elections, not proprietary. And next week at Brad Blog, I'll try to run this this legal threat, this letter I'm holding in my hand from ESNS attorneys, this confidentiality, non-disclosure agreement that they're trying to force these computer scientists from Carnegie Mellon to sign. It is absolutely appalling. These are our public elections. And if I don't get another chance to say this over the public airwaves here before the election cycle starts in earnest in January, over our public airwaves, over Sirius, XM Channel 127, paper ballots, while we need hand-marked paper ballots, they're great, but if we don't count them, if we don't count them on election night in front of our citizenry, in front of all parties, in front of all video cameras, if we don't count them right then and there at the precinct and post those results at the ballot, at the polling place before ballots are moved anywhere, then we may as well be kissing our democracy goodbye. Does that mean you should not vote? If you don't have hand-counted paper ballots at your precinct on election night, no, it doesn't mean that at all. Because if you don't vote, the bad guys don't have to work very hard, do they? Up to you if you want to vote. I don't care either way. I really don't. But if you vote, I want your vote counted. I want it counted accurately, and I want it counted in a way that I can know that your vote was counted accurately. Is that too much to ask in a democracy? Is that too much to ask in a democracy where you've got, you know, it's the Republican, I should say, it's the Republican election board in Venango County who is being threatened by ES&S because they're having the temerity to look at their own voting systems. These are not issues of right and left. These are issues of right and wrong. It is an issue of right and left when the Republican Party is trying to keep Americans from voting, as they're doing now in state after state, with these insidious, these invidious photo ID restrictions at the polling place, trying to keep minorities, elderly, students, from being able to even cast their goddamn vote. Thanks, Republicans, who are doing that. So, yeah. But on the back end, the elections, the counting those ballots, those people who are allowed to vote, those issues are not of right and left. And I'm thankful tonight to the election board of Venango County, Pennsylvania, the two Republicans and the one Democrat in the highly Republican county who are saying, this is crazy. And it is. But it will continue until you or I or somebody does something about it. Hello, occupiers. Yeah, I suggested a demand. Go to bradblog.com and look up my one recommended occupation, Occupy Wall Street demand. It's two sentences. I don't have it in front of me, but I can remember it. One is, everyone who wants to vote, who is a citizen 18 years of age and older, gets to vote. Period. That's the first sentence. Second sentence, those votes cast on hand-marked paper ballots will be counted on election night at the polling place in front of the public and all parties and all video cameras, with the results posted before ballots move anywhere. That is democracy. And that's what we need in this country. Your calls when we come back. 877-520-1150. Get in now. What are you thankful for? Brad in Vermilloy.
You're telling everyone in town that I don't treat you right. You even say I stay away and don't come home at night. I'm losing you and you are all I've got. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Well done, Tony. Brad Friedman from Brad Blog in for Mike Malloy. We're taking your calls. What are you thankful for? 877-520-1150. And you can be clever, by the way. You can be clever. You can say any damn thing you want on this show, just about anything you want. Just couch it in somehow. What are you thankful for? 877-520-1150. Also, stop by the bradblog.com chat room. And please consider buying a copy of Imagine Politique while you're over at bradblog.com to help me do what I need to do in this election year coming up. I need your help. I got no corporate help. I got no foundational help. I have you. So thank you for that. 877-520-1150. All right, let's get to some of our calls here. Mark in San Francisco. Welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show. I know you've been holding for a while, so you don't have a thank you. So I just want you have dispensation. What's on your mind, brother?
Oh, I did want to thank you, Brad, for all you're doing to keep corruption out of voting in this country and fighting for our democracy. I'm thankful that we have voices like Mike Malloy and
yep.
Norman Goldman, Tom Hartman,
yep.
all the progressives that are out there fighting the good fight and raising consciousness in this country, like the 99%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really grateful for that because I think it's so important now. We're under attack. You know, our voting's being, you know, challenged,
mm-hmm.
Our right to vote in this country. The
yep.
Supreme Court is corrupt. We have a Congress that took a pledge to Grover Norquist to protect 1% in this country. We have some major battles. Fox News, we have some targets that the 99% really need to hone in on. and make their voices loud and clear that we're not going to put up with it anymore. They're attacking the 99%. They have been for too long.
Yep. I hear you, brother. All right,
well,
good point.
Have a good Thanksgiving, Brad, and I'll listen to you. I guess Norm's going to bring you on, Norman Goldman, and that'll be great. I'll hear you there, and I'll hear you when you fill in for Mike.
Oh, great. I've never been on Norman's show. I'd be delighted to, so I will look forward to that, and have a great Thanksgiving up there. And by the way, up there in San Francisco, good luck. You got paper ballots. That's good. Good luck trying to figure out who won or lost an election on that instant runoff voting, that madness ranked choice voting. We can't even add 1+1+1 in this country. And instant runoff voting, IRV, or ranked choice voting has so complicated up there for the folks in the Bay Area. I hope they get rid of it soon. Anyway, that's my little editorial. Thanks, Mark, for your call, and have a great holiday.
You too, brother.
All right, brother. 877-520-1150. Now is your chance to get in on your public airwaves. Don't wait until the end. We got a few lines open. Everybody always waits until the very end. Then can't give you enough time, yada, yada. All right, let's see. Steve in Burbank.
There we go.
Steve.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, Steve. How are you? You got to turn down your radio.
It's off completely.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, it's his phone?
It's a Sirius box.
Okay.
This is a landline. Well, what might explain it is it's a landline, and, you know, there are copper coils, you know.
All right. We're not going to go into that, Steve, because everybody's going to fall asleep if we go into that. But by the way, Steve, I got to meet you last week at the Greg Palast event that I was hosting. I was delighted to meet you for the first time, and so that was awesome. And thanks for calling in tonight. What is on your mind?
You shameless name dropper. But anyway, what's happening is I'm...
Just because I said I know Steve from Burbank, I'm a name... All right, go ahead.
No, it's called projection. In psychiatry, it's called projection.
Okay. What's your question, Steve?
Okay. I'm thankful for the calculator that allowed me to figure out that Rush Limbaugh is allowed to have $11.43 a word talking and all that. And he's not even being productive. He's not even contributing anything to society.
He's hurting society. Not contributing. He's hurting. He's harming this country. He's lying to millions and millions of Americans every goddamn day across our public airwaves, tricking them into voting against their own best interest, lying to them about what is going on in this country, shamelessly so. And, so you figured out the 40 million or something he makes a year? Or
I took it off 50 million.
50 million a year, yeah.
Read something for 35 minutes at the same rate you talk. And then 50 million, I did it. I have it all figured out on paper.
So he makes $11 a word.
No, he doesn't. It's what he is allowed to have through the prevailing circumstances.
Oh, I didn't say he earns it. I said he makes it. All right. Anyway, take your point, Steve. I appreciate it. Appreciate your call. Have a happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Okay.
All right. He doesn't earn it. That's for sure. What's the outrage of it all is that we let him do it over our public airwaves. Our public airwaves. We give them to liars like him. Instead of guarding them against the corporate takeover, instead of guarding them like we guard our national parks, we give them away. And Democrats, Bill Clinton signed the Telecommunications Act. Democrats say, we can't win that fight. Let's just worry about the internet. Baloney. Millions and millions of Americans every day. Forget about Fox News. It's AM radio, stupid. That's where these guys get their lies that are killing us over our own public airwaves. 877-520-1150. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. Walking down the road with the ratchet in your waist, journey into bed. Whoa. You're scrubbing, I'm scrubbing, I've been looting on the shooting, boy, you're too bad. Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell, and I've got 25 minutes to go, and the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell. I got 24 minutes to go.
Well, they gave me some beans for my last meal with 23 minutes to go.
Yeah, that's about all we got. About 23 minutes to go before we are out of here for the Thanksgiving holidays. I may stop and say hello quickly on the video at brandblog.com in the chat room there after the show. If you want to stop on by and say hello and also pick yourself up a copy, a signed copy of Imagine Politique, in which I appear as a fictional character. I being Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, here on your Mike Malloy show. As we head in towards the holiday, Mike and Kathy will be back on Monday, and I am taking your calls at 877-520-1150. What are you thankful for? Be creative. I'm sure you can do it. 877-520-1150. Got a bunch of free lines. Now's your time to get in. You can, you know, you can put it in a clever way and then use the time on your public airwaves to say anything you want. 877-5, and Tony will keep his finger on the dump button. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. 1150. Over on the Twitters, I wanted to do a give a shout out here to, where is it? Where's that tweet? Where's that tweet? Yes, D Abidi or D A Biddy. I don't know how she says it. Anyway, she's listening to us on Sirius XM channel 127. We're keeping her awake as she flies up the I-35. Safe travels, Dee, and to everyone who's on the roll tonight, going back to see family before Thanksgiving. Stay safe out there. Glad you're listening, though, tonight. 877-520-1150. And unfortunately, by the way, this Mike Flynn character, who's the editor-in-chief over at Andrew Breitbart's fake news site, Big Government, I had invited him to come on to talk about his story. Last week, he reported that there was a murder at Occupy Savannah in Georgia. Turns out it was a completely phony story, and he never bothered to correct it. There was a murder of someone who was who had been at the occupation in Savannah. The murder had nothing to do with Occupy Savannah. It wasn't at the occupation. It was miles away. And this really irresponsible guy, Mike Flynn, over at Andrew Breitbart's site, just went out and put out these lies. So desperate are they to try to discredit these great patriots at the occupation that they're willing to go out and just lie and say there's murders going on when they aren't. Well, I invited Mike Flynn to come on the show. But apparently he's a coward or something. I don't know. That's what O'Reilly would call him. When you invite them, they don't show up. They're cowards. And, of course, that's why he works for Andrew Breitbart, like James O'Keefe and all the other liars. Cowards, scoundrels, and scofflaws. 877-520-1150. Let's go to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, good evening, Brad.
How are you, brother?
I'm good. I've actually got another listener that can't listen to you, but he's on the other phone hearing me talk to you.
Okay. Well, give him my best regards.
Well, I will do that.
All right.
I wanted to talk about the election thing in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
What county? I knew you said the county, but what is the nearest city to that? And the reason I ask that is I think that's one of those things that Occupy Pennsylvania, whatever city that happens to be closest to, needs to be out there protesting. I mean, there's no excuse for those for that company to be doing that. It's our elections.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I know.
It's like here at Occupy, we said, whose park is it?
Right.
It's the people's park.
You're damn right.
Not the government, not the election company, not the election machine company.
Yep.
And we've got to stop it.
Yep.
I mean, that's just pure and simple.
You're absolutely right, so, and it's and they do. And the occupiers need to definitely need to step in here and support the Election Commission, who's calling for this audit of these voting systems, as ESNS, these thugs, this electronic voting system company, has taken them to court, threatening them. It is appalling. Yep. Venango County, it's a quite rural county and quite Republican, as I said. It's in northwest Pennsylvania. I guess the largest city there would be Pittsburgh. I don't have it on my map, but it's in any case, it's on the northwest side of the state in Pennsylvania, and they need some help. Please occupy Venango.
Yeah.
Good idea, Kevin.
Hey, I wanted to say one other thing. You asked what we were thankful for.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came to my mind, Brad,
mm-hmm.
is I'm thankful for Occupy, and the reason for that is without Occupy being active the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be nowhere near where we are today.
You're absolutely right.
So.
We've changed the conversation. And so to all the occupiers out there tonight, thank you for that. Thanks for your call, Kevin. I really appreciate it. Have a great holiday, okay?
Thank you, Brad.
All right.
You too.
All right. Let me get to, excuse me. Real quick, Sanchez. Our friend Sanchez, who I also got to meet last week at the Greg Palast Festival, and a great occupier out there at Occupy LA. Hey, Sanchez, welcome to the Malloy Show, brother.
Yeah, definitely, and I was wearing my Mike Malloy T-shirt.
You were.
That's how you managed to, not recognize me, but recognize and say that you are the guest host as well. So
that's right, because I was up there on the podium bad-mouthing Malloy or something. I don't know what I was doing. And then I saw a guy with the Mike Malloy Show in the audience, and I, anyway.
And the rest is history.
Yes, sir.
I just want to echo the gentleman that was just on as well to say that I am also thankful for the liberating experience that I've had with Occupy Wall Street
mm-hmm.
first, and then supporting them, and then being their progressive talk radio voice to talk to all the hosts and get them online and on board with Occupy Wall Street. And then when Occupy Los Angeles opened up, being a member of one of the original 60 that showed up,
right.
I happened to there's some issues that come up here, Brad. I don't know how much time you're going to give me, but the LAPD and the City Hall has given us, the Occupy Los Angeles, Occupy LA, an ultimatum to get out by the end of the month, November 28th. They're in a General Assembly right now. I'm at home here in East LA calling you. I'm monitoring the General Assembly. Deepak Chopra was just there. He was just there. He spoke for about 20 minutes, and his advice was this moral outrage that we have is justified, and he is saying to keep moving and keep occupying. If you have to, move two blocks away. Here's the LAPD is giving us a 72-hour notice, probably, and our attorneys...
For what? You have been there a month. What illegality are they going to suddenly invent to make you leave the City Hall lawn?
Well, look, Brad, they're tossing things that I had mentioned to
mm-hmm.
you last week when we were talking. There's a gang influence now. The air has definitely changed, and the GAs, they're discussing these all right now, how to proceed after the 28th.
Let me make a suggestion, Sanchez, because I got a lot of callers. I want to get to them, but let me make just a suggestion for the folks out there at Occupy LA. Is there a problem? Is there a gang problem? Are there people behaving illegally? Those people, if they're doing something illegally, then they need to be dealt with by the police in an appropriate manner.
Yes.
If you're going to stand up against the police who are suddenly inventing a law to make you move, make it clear to everybody this is a nonviolent movement. Anybody who is violent, is not a part of the occupation, but you guys are going to stand your ground, ground at City Hall, and do it nonviolently, and that's it. And you're not going to move away and make it more convenient for the LA City Hall or the police,
Here is the reason for all that, and I think you know that every other city in the country, in the world, has the police on their back.
Right.
So they can get a billy club, they can get a visit, they can get a tear gassing at any day.
But
of
you
night.
Guys have been working
you
with
need,
the police.
Yes.
Yes.
But now there's an issue that's come up, and that's why the General Assembly is dealing with that issue, is that we have this city liaison committee that has been dealing. And now the city liaison, I'm 50-50 about all this because they have the personalities and the knowledge to be able to score this original LAPD. tape PD issue.
Listen,
but now the General Assembly, because it was not done and approved by them, the people are upset.
All right, listen, Sanchez, I don't want to get too much into the weeds here because we've got a lot of folks I got to get to,
okay,
and
Brad.
It's a sort of a local thing. But you know what? Stand your ground, and you know, if there's bad guys out there doing things that are wrong, that's not you. That's not the occupation.
Yeah.
You guys are peaceful, nonviolent.
Yes.
Stand your ground. It's your city hall. It's our city hall. Hold it for all of us. Sanchez, I got to run, brother. Have a great
Thanksgiving.
And to you. All right. I really appreciate it. Let's go to quickly to Matt in my old hometown of St. Louis. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Matt.
How you doing, Brad?
Hey, I'm hanging
in. Thanks for all your hard work. I really enjoy the show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. How do you you listen on online, on Sirius out there? How do you listen? Because I know that they don't allow progressive radio in the city of St. Louis.
No, it's a media blackout. It's like East Germany here where it comes to progressive talk radio. I
right.
listen to Sirius. That's my only – that's what keeps me sane.
Yep.
I'm thankful for that, too,
yep.
actually. So,
all right. I hear you.
You know, I called in the show to say that I was thankful for that memo that got leaked from the D.C. insurance and banking lobbying PR firm to the American Banking Association.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think everybody should read that four-page leaked memo. And I think these people are sociopaths.
Yep.
I think they constantly prove it.
Yep.
And,
for people who don't know, this is a memo showing how they were lobbyists or something, how they were going to how they could. Here's how we will help you discredit Occupy Wall Street. Here's the crap we will make up about them, and you give us $800,000 for it or something. And credit to Chris Hayes over on MSNBC for breaking that story last Sunday. That's what these guys do. They can't win, so they cheat and they lie, and that's what they do.
Exactly.
Have you been out to Occupy St. Louis? Are they still there? I know there was a crackdown.
Well, there was a crackdown, and we're hanging in there.
All
you
right.
know, it's just a question of, you know, we support everybody. We
mm-hmm.
we support our local Occupy. I think at the same time that I think that people down at their local Occupies don't really understand that the whole world really is watching, and that if you're in a certain area in the United States, you know, I'm in St. Louis. I watch you. Everywhere, from the West Coast
mm-hmm.
to the East Coast to Canada, all over the country. And so, you know, just keep that in mind. I think there's plenty of things to motivate us as occupiers, and there's plenty of things that we share in common, even with people who don't necessarily agree with us totally. But you know, I think we can change our minds.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your call. Stay warm out there in St. Louis, and give my best to all my St. Louis peeps. Hopes to be back soon. Go get a Ted Drews on me. All right.
Yeah, well.
Thanks, Matt. Have a great holiday. Okay, we're going to. Oh, I should. We'll come back. We'll take a break. We'll come back with your last of your calls here. We're going to try to get everyone in. What are you thankful for? I'd love to hear it in the short time we have left. Again, I am thankful for you for listening to the Mike Malloy Show in our last few minutes. And I'll be thankful if you stop by bradblog.com, buy a copy of Imagine Politique. It supports the work that I do. It's the only support for the work that I do, by and large. So stop on by, get that book. You'll see it right at the top of bradblog.com. Our last few minutes when we return, Brad in for Malloy. Yes, it was lovely. My thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit in for them over the past week since Friday. Much enjoyed it. Had a great time, as always. It's exhausting, but thank you guys for allowing me to do this, and hope to do it again soon. Maybe we'll see you at Christmas. Who knows? I don't know. Also, my thanks tonight to my guests, Catherine Cryer. Check out her book at patriotacts.com. You won't be disappointed. She is awesome. Catherine Cryer from CNN and Court TV previously. Now she's from We the People. Okay. Also, let's see who. Tony Sorrentino has been here all week with us, as he always is, out here at KTalk AM 1150, our awesome engineer. Thank you, brother, for all that you do. I'm very, very grateful to you, sir. Also, producer Desi Doyen, producer, call screener, chat room moderator, genius. Thank you, Des. Really appreciate it. Also, For Earth is in the chat room moderating as well. Jeannie Dean is in the chat room and in the house tonight joining us here at K-Talk. Thank you, Jeannie Dean, for all the help. Greatly appreciated. If you're listening on MikeMalloy.com, please do stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid, for whom I am also thankful. Okay, I think that's all the business. And in case I don't finish up in time, as usual, you can find me at bradblog.com. You can tweet me at thebradblog. And please stop by and grab a copy of Imagine Politique, signed by Richard Averitt, to help support The Brad Blog, The Malloy Show, and Progressive Radio. And we will have archives up late night tonight at bradblog.com. All right, a couple of quick calls, a couple of thank you calls, 877-520-1150. Don't know why I'm giving you that number, because can't get to everybody I got now. Mark in Minneapolis, welcome to The Malloy Show. Mark, what's on your mind, brother?
Hey, Brad, thank you so much for you. Thank you for Mike Malloy. I listen on AM 950 here in Minneapolis.
Ah, yes.
On Sirius. So, but
we love AM 950, by the way. I got to meet the station owner, Janet, last weeks ago out in Vegas, and she is awesome. You guys are very lucky to have a great independent progressive station out there.
We definitely are lucky, and we continue to support it. But I want to say thank you so much for the Occupy movement, as everyone is stating. I've been fighting this economic battle for the better part of the last 3-4 years as just craziness with foreclosures and everything else destroying communities. And, you know, it seems like we get a little spark and then that fire dies out. And now we've got Occupy, and now we just got to keep this fire blazing.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
So I urge anybody who's involved with Occupy also to read Dr. King's letter from the Birmingham jail, because that gives you a real good synopsis of what he stood for and nonviolent civil disobedience and what it's really all about.
Mm-hmm.
So happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, Brad, and I'll let you get to some more calls. But thank you, Occupy. Keep the movement going.
Thank you, sir. Well said, Mark. I greatly appreciate it. Have a great holiday. Let me get to, can I do two more calls in 2 more minutes? All right. We'll have to do it fast. Tim in West Branch. Where is that, Michigan? Tim?
Yeah, about an hour and a half from Michael Moore's home.
Okay, good. What's on your mind? What are you thankful for in like about 15 seconds, about all I got left?
Thankful for Americans who are inventive, and I want to let you know that I've shared a plan, left a message with Michael Moore tonight and also the Michigan Congressional delegation. There's a way in the federal budget to save $500 billion. That's moving all white-collar workers to 2 shifts a day instead of one. Cuts overhead costs in half. That's 25.
Wait, you make everybody work twice as hard?
No. We pay for office space, computers that are available 168 hours a week, 24/7. We use it 40 hours a week. I'm talking about an early shift and a late shift in every federal building, every state and local building.
All right. Well, we're going to have to I had to cut you off here only because I'm shy of time. If it's to add productivity, we're more productive than we have ever been, and yet the people are still getting screwed in the bargain. But
I'm talking about cutting overhead.
I got you.
Green Space Guy on Twitter. I have all the details.
I appreciate it. Green Space Guy on Twitter. Thanks, Tim. I appreciate that.
Thank you very
have
much.
A good holiday. I can do it. Lois in Colvallo, California. You got 10 seconds. What are you thankful for, Lois?
you cut to me. It's Covolo. And
Covolo.
I just wanted to say, when you asked what am I grateful for, I'm 66 years old, and I'm so grateful for the Occupy movement. I've been following the denigration of my country since I was in my 20s, and I'm just so happy to finally see people rallying around changing everything.
Well done, Lois. Thanks for that call. Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone out there, everyone in America. And, oh, yeah, don't forget, keep it lit. I'm Brad Friedman. Happy Thanksgiving.